Is there a way to use biblical doctrine therapeutically? That's what we're going to find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and we're right in the middle of our blog week. Blog week is a week of shows devoted to some of our favorite articles that have appeared on our website, faithalone.org. The blog post that we're going to discuss today is called Doctrinal Emotive Behavioral Therapy. It appeared on March 22, 2019, and was written by Sean Lazar. Let's go to Sean and Bob in the Grace in Focus studios as they discuss this formative topic.
I'm so glad you're tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkins.
And we're going through several blogs that we've produced over the last few months. If you don't know, we have a daily blog that comes out about 500 words. Quick to read, but it'll get you thinking about deeper biblical topics, theological topics. We're not putting out fluff here. We want to challenge you. We want your minds to be renewed. We want you to grow in your faith so that you'd be more effective in your service for the Lord. One of the topics that always comes up and that we're very concerned about, we want Christians to grow to spiritual maturity. And the question is, how do you do that? You know, that's the big question.
Right.
People have different ideas of how that works. And the Bible puts the emphasis, if you want to change, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, emphasizes if you want to change your life, you have to change your what?
Right, your thinking.
Your thinking.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right. So as Christians, although salvation is free, although it's entirely by grace, it's by a single act of faith in Jesus for everlasting life, that's not the end of your story. That's the beginning of your story. And from that point on, God expects you to grow and to serve him in the body of Christ. He expects you to not be conformed to this world. He expects experiential holiness in your life.
That's exactly right. I remember when I was at Dallas Seminary, I was talking to one professor of the Old Testament, and he said when he finished his master's degree, he was trying to decide, do I want to go into psychology and get a PhD in psychology? Or do I want to go into Bible and get a PhD and then I will pastor and teach in the seminary? He said, in my opinion, about 95% of the people in the church are capable of hearing the word taught week in and week out, and they will grow and mature, and they will experience the Romans 12:2 experience. Their mind will be renewed and their behavior will be transformed. But he said there's about 5% of the people in the church who have serious emotional, psychological, and mental health issues. And those people need more than the Bible. For example, if they're paranoid or say they have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, they need medication in order to think straight. In other cases, they may need some counseling to help them through grief or to help them through anxiety or to help them through depression or other things. What you're talking about here, this doctrinal emotive behavior therapy, I think is a wonderful approach to handling problems that we're not talking medication here. We're just talking about mind renewal that believers can wrap their mind around. And this would be true of the 5% of the people as well as the 95% of the people, because regardless of where you are in terms of your mental health, we all deal with anxiety.
Right.
We all deal with situations that upset us and grief and anger and frustration. And the question is, how do we handle those things? What you're discussing here, I think, is very helpful for all of us.
Right. One of the things that we discuss in the office, we talk about family life, we talk about marriage, we talk about kids. We get moments of frustration, we get moments of anger, we get moments of exasperation in our marriages, in our families, just in work in general. And we don't want to be like that. You know, we want to grow beyond that and mature beyond that. And the question is how. And we've talked about this idea of how do we change our emotional reactions to things. And you introduced me to a school of psychotherapy called Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy, which was started by Albert Ellis.
Yeah, and I don't know if he would call it or they would call it psychotherapy, but it is therapy and it does relate to the psyche, so you probably could. But it's not Freudian. It's not, let's talk about your parents, let's talk about how they messed you up. It's the exact opposite of that.
Right. So he was reading kind of ancient philosophers, Albert Ellis did. And he noticed that a lot of those guys emphasized, if you want to control your emotions, you need to control your thinking. Okay. And so he came up with this method of therapy that's kind of summarized by this A, B, C, D schema.
What's the name of this therapy?
Well, for him, it's called Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy.
Rational Emotive, okay.
R-E-B-T, and you can find lots of stuff online on it. What Ellis said was most people think that the reason why they get so upset, react in anger, or they get anxious, the reason why they do that is because of their circumstances. There's some type of activating event, okay? That's the A.
Okay, now we're talking about this A, B, C, D of Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy.
Right, so there's an A. And that's the adversity or the activating event. Let's say you lose your job, okay? And a lot of people think that event is what causes you to feel anxiety or to get angry or whatever it is.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the way we think, right?
Right, right.
Circumstance, I lost my job. Yeah. That forces me to be anxious.
Right. The circumstance causes you to feel a certain way. Right. You have no control over it because of the circumstances there. And so a lot of people think, well, in order to change my emotions, my feeling, you have to change the circumstance.
Right.
Give me my job back or give me an even better job.
Right.
Well, Ellis said he didn't think that was right. He thought there was a point in between the A, which is the adversity, and the C, which is the consequence of the adversity, which is like, you know, feeling anxious or getting angry. He thought the most important thing was B. B is your beliefs about the adversity.
And those beliefs are the triggers, right?
Right. He said those beliefs are the actual triggers.
And they trigger the consequence.
Right. So, for example.
So, not the event, but the belief about the event.
Yeah, not the event, but what you believe about the event. So, for example, let's say you get fired. Let's say a person believes, oh, finally, I hated that job anyways. Now I can do what I really love. What's going to be now the emotional consequence of being fired? They're
right.
going to be happy about it. But let's take a second person. That person also gets fired, and they think, I am never going to work ever again in the rest of my life. How are they going to feel?
Yeah, they're going to feel terrible.
They're going to feel terrible. Let's say a third person says, my job is what determined my value as a human being. That's what they believe. And now that I lost my job, I have no value as a human being. Well, how are they going to feel?
Horrendous.
Horrendous, right?
Yeah.
So it's not the activating event that's causing them to feel a certain way. It's their beliefs about the event.
So if you talked with one of these REBT people and you came in and said, okay, the activating event or the adversity is I lost my job, so I'm anxious.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, no, wait a minute. They would talk to you about what you believe about it, and they would help you to think differently.
Right. So they have A, B, C, and now D. D in this rational mode of behavior therapy is disputing. You dispute the belief. The irrational belief. So let's say someone says, I'm never going to get hired ever again the rest of my life. Well, that's an irrational belief. And so the therapist, REBT therapist, would then say, well, let's look at the facts. We're at historic lows in terms of joblessness, and you're highly skilled. What you should really believe is you're obviously going to get another job. You know, this is just an opportunity for you to get another job elsewhere. You are definitely employable. So it's just a matter of time.
And if the person doing this were coming from a Christian perspective, they would say the Lord has something else for you.
Well, see, that's where I think we have something to say to this. So I think that this basic way of approaching a problem is biblical.
Right.
I think it's very Pauline.
Right.
Because Paul says in Romans, like we just said, in Romans 12, 1 to 2, that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Right.
And so whereas an REBT therapist would dispute false beliefs based on their non-Christian worldview.
Right.
Albert Ellis was not a Christian. He was an atheistic Jewish guy. We would dispute those false beliefs based on the Bible.
Right.
So I would say the D for us, the disputing, all comes from the Bible. We're disputing with doctrine is what I said. You know, so it's like if someone says, you just use that example. So you get fired and you think, oh, my worth is tied to my job. And now that I don't have a job, I'm totally worthless. Well, we would take that person to the Bible and we'd say, your value in God's eyes is not at all tied to your job. Your value is given to you by God. He loves you. While you were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for you.
Yeah.
You are a value to God irrespective of the job that
Being
you have.
Being a child of God is an exalted position.
Absolutely. So we would take them to doctrine to change their thinking. And once someone changes their thinking about, well, all these things, you're supposed to get to E. So we've done A, B, C, D is the disputing, and E is effective change. So you've just changed your life. If your thinking changes, now your life changes. Now your emotions are going to change. And you're going to have, instead of anxiety, you're going to have peace that no matter what happens, you know that with biblical thinking, you're going to have peace about your situation. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. If you and I got thrown into a lion's den, I think I'd be a little bit anxious, a little scared. But how did Daniel treat it?
Yeah, well, he was convinced that God was going to deliver him, and of course God did.
Right, so he had total peace in the lion's den.
Right.
Because his thinking was just so focused on God. So he had peace in the lion's den, and I think you can have peace in the lion's den, and I can have peace in the lion's den if we change our thinking. And that's a process. It's a lifelong process where you just need to hear God's word on a regular basis.
Okay, why don't we go through A, B, C, D, E again, and then describe how you would, from a Christian perspective, slightly change it.
All right. So this is what I use. This is not medical advice. This is just something I do for myself. When my kids aren't obeying or things are going wrong at home, instead of getting angry, I go through this process myself. So there's A, and there's the adversity. Okay. A stands for adversity. Whatever it is that you think is going to cause you to react badly. B stands for your beliefs about that adversity. These are unbiblical beliefs that we need to be challenged, okay?
Right.
C stands for consequences. That's the consequence of your beliefs about the adversity. D stands for disputing. You need to dispute those false beliefs or those irrational beliefs with Bible truth.
Right.
And then E stands for effects. And that's the effect of change. That's the transformation of your life by transforming your mind. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. Whenever you're thinking you're going to react in anger or react in anxiety or react in jealousy or have any type of negative emotional reaction and you're about to blame your circumstances, why don't you take a step back and just think to yourself, am I thinking biblically? Am I thinking about this event in a godly way? And if you're not, challenge your thinking with Scripture. Go to Scripture and go to see what Scripture has to say about that type of trouble in your life and about how you should really think about it and react to it. And allow the Word of God to transform your mind so that your behavior will transform too.
Amen.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion. I remember when this particular blog post hit the website because my wife had it pulled up and she showed it to me and she said, "Have you read this? This is really good." I know that it's reaching more than just my wife. You can tell by the comments that are left on this blog post and many others. To read this particular article, you can go to faithalone.org. Up at the top, there's a search menu and you can type in Doctrinal Emotive Behavioral Therapy. It appeared on March 22nd, 2019. Not only do we have many blog posts in addition to this one, we have all kinds of resources to help you grow. We have a great print magazine that you can get a free subscription to right there on the site, faithalone.org. We also have teaching videos and podcasts of this show. All of this and more at faithalone.org. If you'd like to reach out to us, I'd encourage you to do that. I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to continue Blog Week with another of our influential blog posts. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.